If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 5. It's been great to be able to get established, get settled in, and all of those good things. But then in the middle of all of getting ready and all that good stuff, finally, all the paperwork is done. We're supposed to sign Wednesday and hopefully moving in. Packers are supposed to be there Wednesday and load everything up and be over here Thursday to unload it. Now, that doesn't mean we're moved in. That just means we're in a house with chaos. So give us about another week and so, and hopefully we'll at least be over here, all of us, and not travel back and forth and all of those good things. And somebody asked me the other day where Angie was, and I said, that's a good question. I lost her. She's either here or over there. I don't know. But anyway, it'll be good to get everything back in together, get our house in order, and start making relationships here in this area. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. As we look at this, we talk about partners in ministry. As we read this story here, we see that one day as Jesus was standing by the lake at Gennesaret with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left. There were other fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, we want to think about partners. We see in here that there were two times that the word partner was mentioned. And as we look at this, we want to understand that the word partner is found twice in this passage, and it speaks of fellowship. They work together, and they work together so much in this story that Jesus said, "Drop your nets." Now, if you've been a fisherman, and I kind of know more about this now because I grew up at the beach and I saw the catches coming in at Hampton Roads down there at Fort Monroe, and I saw it over at Virginia Beach and all of those places, and you can see the catches that came in and everything, and saw that after their catches are done, they have to go back to their boats, and in salt water especially, they have to wash them down. If not, the salt will eat everything up. So when naturally you're talking about fish, they had come in and they were finished and they haven't caught anything. They were washing their boats ready to go what? Home. And Jesus begins to teach, and the crowds were pushing so much that they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and they kept trying to get closer to him and closer to him. And finally he stepped into a boat and pushed out a little ways, had them to push out and hold the boat there, drop the anchor so that he could continue to teach. And as they did, then Jesus said, "Go on out into the deep." Now, if you look at the Gospels and try to do it from the four Gospels stories and look at this story, you'll see that Simon was a little perturbed. Jesus, you know, we've been out fishing all night. I'm a fisherman, and I think I know what I'm doing. And we didn't catch anything. There's nothing out there to be caught. Or they're not catchable at this point. But if you want me to do it, I'll do it. So you can see the negative connotation he's got there. He's not really wanting to go out there. He's not really expecting to catch anything because he hadn't caught anything. And so when you go out there like that and you drop your nets down and all of a sudden you start cranking those nets back in and that boat starts tilting over this way, you realize you got something. And it was so great, the nets began to break. And as they began to break, he called his partners over. Y'all need to get over here. You need to help us. And the others came together. And the two of them, in two boats, began to sink, even helping each other. Now, what is this story trying to tell us? What is Jesus trying to get across here to us this morning? As we look at this, this is what we want to look at this morning. Partners in ministry. How do we work together? Dr. John Upton said, you know, we can do more together than we can as individuals. And that's very true, isn't it? There is so much more. I've got a TV at the house. It's one of the older ones. It's not really heavy. And I could pick that much weight up, and I have done it. The problem is, it's so big. You can't get your arms around it. There's no way to get a grip on it. So when we moved it, my wife and I, she got on one end, and I got on the other end. And what happens if one picks up and the other one doesn't? You got to have partners, don't you? You have to work together. And so you've got to squat down together, and you've got to look at each other and say, okay, I'm getting ready to stand up together. And when you do, it comes up, and you can walk anywhere. And then a fun step is going up steps, isn't it? You really have to work as partners. Now, you're beginning to see the picture we're talking about with partners this morning. This is what we have to do at church. How do we do it? We have so many programs in this church. We have women's ministries. We have men's ministries. We have choir. We have handbells. We have outreach ministry. We have Wednesday night dinners. I mean, and I'm probably left something out, haven't I? Yep, library. We've got so many ministries of doing things. Now, how do we work together as partners from this church to take it into this community? If you'll notice, Jesus was not in the synagogue, was he, when he taught? He was where? Outside, where the people were. When I was in the Navy, I wasn't living the life I should have been living, but I did go one place in England that I always wanted to go to, and it was called Piccadilly Square. And at Piccadilly Square, you could go down there, and they had a place where anybody that wanted to could stand up there, and if you think you could get the crowds, then you could sit there and you could teach, preach, sing, whatever you wanted to do. And it was kind of neat because all kinds of people got up and said all kinds of stupid things. And people listened. And then some of them, even though it was, quote, English, was still foreign to us. What about here? We have the freedom as Christians, as Americans, to stand out and share about the name of Jesus Christ, don't we? We've got that freedom. Others don't have that freedom. And so as we look this morning, I want us to see three things quickly that will help us to understand. First of all, partnership. As we look at partnership, it involves a union. Now, in marriage, it is a union. It is where two people can come together in one, isn't it? And after years of marriage, you start thinking alike. You start completing each other's sentences. You both have the same thoughts because you have come together. You have worked together. And we need one another. We need to have a partnership. And if we don't, we can't have that kind of a union. And it's clear in Genesis 2:18, he says simply this. The Lord says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helpmate suitable for him. So you see, when God put Adam on this earth, Adam was looking at all these animals, and all these animals had partners, and they had all of this, and he says, it's not good. You need a companion. You need someone. And today, we need someone. You look at people that are lonely. Why are they lonely? They have no one. Depression sets in because there's no one to turn to. And as we look out today, as we look out at this world, why are there so many suicides going on? Why are there so many people that are walking around lonely? Woe is me. They have no one to turn to. And even as Christians, when we have Bible studies, when we have prayer time, when we have prayer requests, do we really share what's on our hearts? Do we really share sins that we're struggling with? Do we want others to pray with us about it? We do, if we don't have to share it, right? Because if I have to share my deepest inner thoughts, my deepest sin that's really holding me back from doing the very best, what's so-and-so going to think? And if you do share it, then how about all the little mumblings that go around? Did you know that so-and-so did so-and-so, and they're thinking about so-and-so? And you know, and it's not what Jesus is teaching when he says partners here. You can take two mad dogs and you can tie them together and you'll have a union. You'll have a mess on your hands, but you will have a union. They're together, aren't they? This is what we're seeing today. We need to come together. David wrote it in Psalms 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Iraq is a good example, isn't it? We have gone over there. We have helped them to establish their freedom. We're soon, hopefully, going to be pulling our troops out. But there's one problem over there. There's families called clans, aren't there? And the only way that freedom will work there is if those clans of families can come together and work together. And in how many years have they not done it? Partners. We need to have partners. Partnership involves unity and union, but it also has harmony. Harmony is when everyone functions in their responsible areas to achieve the desired goal. Now, Sarah, I know, takes and works with the choir. And she has heard have Jimmy, and I heard it even this morning before we all got in here, they were practicing. They broke it down into parts. And the different ones sing the different parts. And when you take the different parts of music and you put it together, the altos and the tenors and all of those, and you put them all together, and they sing in harmony, it becomes beautiful, doesn't it? But if they're not, then it can't work. And so we see that when we put all this together, when there's no harmony, things just don't come out right. One of the children's sermons I remember hearing when I was pastoring was one of them had the choir to stand up here and sing. And they had the piano playing one song. They had the men singing one song, the women singing another song. And you said three different songs going at the same time. And it sounded like chaos. And that was the point. But then when they all came together and sang together, we had it. Secondly, we see that we need to be partners. Together we can accomplish much more than any one of us could do alone. There again, when I was in the Navy, we had a 35-foot boat called the Officer's PL. It was heavy. It weighed about 6 to 9 tons. And we had a crane that would pick it up to put it in the water. But you couldn't just pick it up and swing it out and drop it. Because if you did, it would twist on you. So we'd have to put lead lines on it, and you would have to have one on the front and one on the back. And you had people that would hold these ropes to keep that boat straight so that when it dropped down into the water. Now, we found out real quick, one person couldn't hold that rope. It took a number of people to hold it. 4 or 5 of us, as a matter of fact. And we found out quickly that if we didn't work together, if those on the front gave it too much yank on it, then the ones on the back were having it going out on them, and they were trying to get it back in. And so we would have to have somebody that would help us to guide us and know and to share with us so that one wasn't pulling harder than the other. And it's no fun when you see a double cable coming down that gets twisted up. So you had to keep that boat straight. You had to work together. And so when we see that, together we find strength and encouragement when we're down. And we see that when two or more are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ and we pray in one accord, that will be done. Can you imagine the disciples on different occasions being thrown in jail? The Christians in that community praying for them. And they're in shackles and chains. And all of a sudden, they just fall off. the doors are opened. They were able to walk past guards. I know it's Halloween, and no, I'm not telling a ghost story, but that's what the scripture said. They were able to walk past them, and when they got past them and walked out and nobody seemed to notice they were gone, they decided they needed to go to the room where they were praying at. And when they got there, they found out they were praying together. So you see, prayer can do great things, can it? If we will trust in it. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In the Navy, we didn't use any kind of rope unless it was stranded. And when I say that, it was exactly what the scriptures are saying here. Three stranded. The reason is it was stronger. And this is what the scriptures are saying here. When we come together, if we want to change this community, we're going to do it not as individuals, but as a body of Jesus Christ. And when we come together and we pray together, we can accomplish more than if we try to do it on our own. Thirdly, we need to be partners in ministry. We need to be partners in prayer. Matthew 18, 19 says, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. God wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to Him. Our parents want us to talk. And as children, we talk. We almost tell them everything. But somehow, when we become a teenager, adolescent, and simply defined as an adolescent is this, you're kind of in between children and adulthood. Yeah. You're not really an adult, but you're not really a child anymore. You're in between. But as we become that teenage year, we become a little less trusting of our parents, and we share less things, and we used to tell them everything. I know. I had two teenage boys. They'd come home and I said, how's school today? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. Why'd you go? Ah, I got more than one word out of them that time. Because you made us to. Boy, that was an exciting day, wasn't it? Now, if you learn to keep your mouth shut and listen, you'll find out they had more than that. And it happened more than that. We didn't have computers, guys, so they had to do the talking over the old crank phones, you know. So you could hear a whole lot of stuff going on then. We didn't have the party lines. Some of y'all may remember that. But we work together. We need to be attentive to our personal prayer life. Through prayer, Christians can find forgiveness. God said, I will forgive you. Through prayer, the Christian can find peace to replace anxiety. There are so many people today that are worried. We're seeing so many counselors that are coming out because people are so stressed out. We're using words like burnout. When we've got the answer, it's prayer. And through prayer, we can receive the peace. Through prayer, the Christian can find strength through God, through the Spirit. But we need to be like the early church, and we need to pray together. In the early times, they prayed in times of trouble, in times of departure. There was a sweetness of fellowship and a sense of strength that comes from when God's people pray together. We had a little group at Bluefield College. We lived in a house on campus. It used to be the old president's home. It is now the missionary home. The guys that lived in that dorm, if you want to call it that, or home, became very close. And we pretty much all were going into the ministry. So naturally, the common name that the kids gave us was called the Sanhedrin. We became religious fanatics. But you know, we got together in the living room on more than one occasion. We prayed for our campus. We prayed for our friends. We prayed for all kinds of stuff together. And some of those prayers would go all night long. I've talked to some of them since. And there's very few of them that have said, we pray now all night long like we did then. We lost that sense, haven't we, to pray. And 9 times out of 10, when we pray to the Father, it is in a hush. Well, God, I got 5 minutes I can give you. You ever talk to someone and you're so busy, you look at them and they say, I need to talk to you, I'll give you 5 minutes. How many minutes do we give God? When we talk to Him in prayer, when He has all the answers, but we don't go to Him for those answers. We need to be pardons and burdens. There are people today that are hurting with all kinds of things, all kinds of physical defects, all kinds of emotional defects, all kinds of spiritual defects. Galatians 6, 1 through 4 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritually should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Two truths here that we see. The first one we see, we are to be sharing our burdens. What are those things that are weighting us down? And we too should also be hearing and praying about other burdens that others have, shouldn't we? We should be sharing with one another. Burdens is anything that weighs us down, isn't it? It could be anything simple. It could be complex. It could be sin. Anything that holds us down is a burden, isn't it? And that is what we need to pray about. Burdens can be anything that is difficult to bear. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be mentally. It can be spiritually. We become partners in one another, and we share in one another's burdens. And that's what we talked about earlier. Being able to share our burdens with one another and praying without it going outside to the rest of the world. Isn't that what it is? That's all it's all about. We need to be partners in stewardship. The Bible says that as believers, we're not on our own any longer, but we are together. We are brothers and sisters, inherits with God. Paul puts it this way, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God paid a price. He bought us, didn't he? He bought us. He sent his son to come on this earth, not to do miracles, not to walk on water, not to feed 5,000 people, not to heal the sick. That's not what he sent him here for. He sent him here for one reason and for one reason only, and that was to die for you and I. That's it. That's the only reason Jesus came on this earth, was to die for us. He bought us. God bought us. He paid a price for us. And it is paid in full. Isn't that great? Paid in full. Now everything about us, every possession we have, every ability that we have, every talent we possess, no longer belongs to us. But it belongs to God who gave it to us to start with. And the work of the church here and around this world moves forward as we become partners in stewardship. Southern Baptist is one of the best with missions, isn't it? Why? Because all of our churches have come together as one, and we have sent out missionaries all over this world. Can you imagine trying to send out as many missionaries as one of the largest Baptist churches that we know of? We couldn't afford to do it as much as they can. We don't have the money that needed. So how could we support one missionary effectively? But where we have come together as a group, a body of believers, now we are able to send out thousands of missionaries. We have over 5,000 missionaries all over this world and new ones going in every day. And that's just foreign missions. That's not counting all of our home missionaries that are working within our own states. So you see, we need to come together as partners, and we need to work together. We need not to be partners that are hitchhikers, that are just jumping on bandwagons and here and there. We need to be partners in reaching others. Note verse 10, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people. That is our job as Christians. We have become fishermen. We are fishers of men, as the scripture said, fishers of people. It is our job to go out and to bring in. It is our job to go out, and we must work together to reach our community and this world, and that passage fulfills the Great Commission. Everybody knows that. It starts out with the word please, doesn't it? Please go out into the world. That makes it sound like we don't have to do it, does it? Unless we feel like it. But that's not what it is. God said in the Great Commission, go. That's not a thing of if you would like to or please. It would sure help the cause. It is an order. It is an expectation. You will do it, is what God says. Go. No questions asked. Go. That is what he's saying in this. This is what he's sharing. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, I plant the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters it anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We're to take our gifts, our talents, our abilities, and use it for the glory of God. That's what it's called. Not just to come here on Sunday mornings and worship, but to take it with us everywhere we go. A devout Jew, a devout Muslim, takes time out every day. They will take time every day, doesn't matter where they're at, they will stop and they will worship. They will pray. Why do they do that? They're committed. How about us as Christians? Where is our commitment level this morning? Do we take time out to pray like that? Do we take time out? Francis Chan said that in his book, Crazy Love, that what he used to do was he was on fire for God, but at the same time, he was embarrassed. And so when they would get together, it was almost like he was made to feel like if he didn't bless his food, God would strike him dead. So when he got with a group of his fellow friends and everything, and they got together to go out and eat, they sat down. He knew he had to bless the food, but he didn't want to bow his head, so he kindly, politely knocked his fork off and dropped it on the floor. And as he was going down, he was saying it in whatever language he spoke at that time. Da, 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 and da, da, da. You know, God is great, God is good, let us thank you for our food, amen. And then he blessed it. That was how he did it. So nobody else would know that he did it. He was ashamed. And I think sometimes we become ashamed that we're Christians, aren't we? And we should. Because God has given us the power to overcome anything and everything if we would just trust in him. Follow him and become partners with him. We're partners together. You know, in some businesses, they'll have silent partners or what they call ghost partners. You put up the money, I'll do all the work, you just keep your mouth shut. That's not God's ministry. That's not his. God says, I don't want anybody to be silent. I want everybody to be open and to share. There are no silent partners. There are no ghost partners when you come into the body of Jesus Christ. We all need to work together to accomplish the goals that God has set down in his word for our lives and for this church. Will you commit this morning? Will we become partners? Yes, there are so many things out here to do, and there's probably more things than what we're even doing. But the question is, it's better to do something than nothing. It's better to share the word, even if it's watered down or weak, as we think sometimes. Because when we do that, it's not. God is right there. The rest of that Great Commission, the last part of it, after he says go, and after he says everything else, the last thing he says is what? I am with you. Isn't that great? So it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter who you're talking with or talking to about Jesus Christ. They can't know more than you do because God knows everything. And he is with us. Isn't it great? I went to a school. It was not exactly a Baptist-supported school. It was supposed to have been interdenominational. I found out later it was not. And I was sitting up in my room studying, and all of a sudden I had about six guys that knocked on the door. I got up, I went and opened the door. There they were. I said, "We want to talk to you." I knew what was coming. We had differences of opinion, and they were going to make sure that when they left that night that I was going to be on the same track, the same side they were on. They were studious. I had gotten out, graduated, forgotten how to study, so it was much harder for me. We sat there and we talked. And after it was over with, as I reflected on it, I sat there going, "Wow. How did I come up with that scripture verse? How did I know that? How did I know at that precise moment that was exactly what I was supposed to say?" And you know what the answer was? "And I am with you." God was with me. God was the one that put those words in my mouth. So you see, when you think you can't deal with something, or you think that you can't share the scriptures because you don't know enough scripture verses, when you make that attempt, God is there and He will help you through. Do you think God wants to see us fall on our faces? No. He wants to be there to catch us and to help us and to send us on our way and to be like these fishermen, to become fishers of people. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask that you'll just help us to continue to look into your word. Father, we thank you that as we look into this story that you will challenge us, speak to us, and give us directions that we may become fishers of people. In your name we pray. Amen.